Shoot First, Ask Questions Later, Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Brent Musgrove.
I am Nick Aiello.
And we're back again.
Week 6 edition. Yep. Couple teams on byes, hoping to speed this process up.
Buffalo. Yeah, it should be a little bit shorter of a show this week. We do have 4 teams on bye. I think week 9 and week 11 will be the ones that are really short.
Although coming up here, the next like 5 to 6 weeks are 4 and 6 teams on bye. I think 4 of the next 6, something like that. But nice. Buffalo, Chicago, Indianapolis, and Oakland. So, some relevance there, but not the worst bye week, I'd say.
Yeah, so we're going to help. We also have the early London game.
Yeah. Now, last week it was funny. We were talking to, as the London game came up. The London game was actually...
It was later there.
It was like, yeah. Why? It was. I liked that. What was the point of, like, why put this game on at 9:30?
I don't know.
Let's talk about Thursday Night Football. We really only have to talk about one side of the ball. It's funny. I will tell you a story about this segment. I started out with the tagline of Giants are hoping to be without, we'd be with their full complement of weapons.
And then it was like nothing.
And now they have nothing.
They have Golden Tate. That's it.
I mean, it's going to be a combination of Red Ellison, Jonathan Hillman, Eli Penny, Golden Tate, and Darius Slayton against the Patriots. You're not interested in any of it. Even no. Golden Tate. Sorry. No. Like, no.
I would be okay starting Golden Tate in full point PPR, 16
not.
Team
league. I mean, he's going to play more this week, but only played 66% of the snaps last week.
Yeah, but he's going to have to play more.
But on the positive, 29 of 32 possible routes that he ran did come out of the slot. Probably not good news if you're a Sterling Shepard owner.
Yeah, if you did do that, I would be expecting something like 8 or 10 catches for like 40 or 60 yards.
I'm avoiding all the Giants on a short week on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Talk about Sony Michel, who kind of got it going last week with Rex Burkhead out with the foot injury.
He looked a little better.
You know, one thing about the Patriots that they've committed to with Michel is the goal line work. Like, they've definitely stayed pretty firm that, like, they want him to be the goal line back. While he's had really disappointing yardage totals, he's gotten the goal line work and scored some touchdowns. So 16 for 91 last week and a touchdown. I think he has another nice game here.
Yeah, I think they're just going
to... Don't pay attention to Brandon Bolden. That's
nothing.
Those are anomalies.
He's a special teamer.
Yeah, I mean, and James White was fine last week, you know, in his return, 6 for 26, 9 targets, 6 for 36.
Watch it be a big James White game.
It could be. You know who I really like to see have a big game is Josh Gordon, because he has been really, really frustrating so far.
8 targets, 5 catches, 59 yards last week.
Yeah. Has seen 10 targets one time in 2019. That was 6 for 83, and that was week 3 versus the Jets. He has gone over 83 receiving yards only once, but leads all Pats skill players in snaps and pass routes.
Very weird.
So it would suggest better days are ahead. You know?
I mean, they've blown out some teams, too.
I don't think he's fully healthy either. He continuously shows up on the injury report with his knee, and he just doesn't look as fast as Josh Gordon typically does. So maybe that's played into it a little bit.
Maybe he's just done some hard living.
Josh Gordon definitely done some hard living.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I like Josh Gordon to get in the end zone in this one. I think it's going to be a blowout. I think Danny Dimes is going to be terrible in this one. Mm-hmm. I'm not using Red Ellison in the place of Ingram, you know. It's unfortunate this is a Thursday night game for the Giants because some of these guys might have been active had it been on Sunday.
Yeah, and then some of them were already hurt. I think that we probably see Saquon next week, too.
We could. I mean, that's definitely a possibility. There was rumors.
This will be a rare time that we are like, don't start anyone on this team. And then next week are like, start everyone.
And I mean, it's a nice surprise to Barkley. The original quote was between 4 to 8 weeks. It'll be 3 weeks since the injury. It's only been 16 days, like, since the actual injury with the short Thursday night schedule. So I think you might have him back. I think it'll be limited workload, though. I don't think you're going to see a full... Even if next week he's active, I think he's on kind of a pitch count.
Yeah, I could see that.
This is supposed to be a terrible weather game, too, though. I will say that. I favor the Patriots rushing options in this one.
It is supposed to rain this whole time.
Yeah, it's 40-mile-an-hour winds. If you were playing Mike Nugent or Aldrick Rojas, I would find another kicker.
Yeah, I actually dropped Aldrick Rojas in a league that I had him today because one of this, but two because I wanted to grab a handcuff.
I don't think they're going to kick many field. I think they're going to get shut out.
Yeah.
But I would not use a kicker in this game.
All right, so let's move on to the aforementioned London early game.
Carolina and Tampa Bay. Okay, so this is actually funny. I have down on our script. Kirsten McCaffrey didn't show up on the injury report, but reports of a back injury. And I wrote this on Tuesday, but now today he actually is on the injury report because of a back injury. Yeah. But the joke about it is that it was a vet day, and it's because Chris McCaffrey has been carrying the team on his back.
Yes, he
has. Like, it wasn't a real injury. It was just like a vet routine maintenance day for him.
Yep.
I mean, I
still like his handcuff, too.
Reggie Bonifant did emerge last week because McCaffrey left with some cramps at the end of the game. He's not somebody I want to own, like, honestly, just because I don't see him working his way into a significant role with McCaffrey there. And
Are you saying you don't want to own running back handcuffs, period, then? Because McCaffrey is one of the best.
Just not this one.
See, I think I disagree there.
I just don't think Reggie. I think Reggie Bonifant. I think there are still other guys in this backfield that'll touch the ball if Christian McCaffrey were to go down. I don't think it's like Reggie Bonifant's job like it would be with an Alexander Mattison or somebody.
I mean, I like him better than Wayne Gallman.
Wayne Gallman's actually done something.
Well, he did one thing.
But, I mean,
all Wayne Gallman ever did was get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, he had one good game and scored 2 touchdowns.
That brings his total career touchdowns up to 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, well,
so
better than Reggie Bonifant's 1.
Yes.
He only touched the ball 5 times last week. A lot of it came on a big play. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just not buying Reggie.
I think he looked good.
I'm not buying Reggie Bonifant at all.
I put Reggie Bonifant on the same level I would put Alexander Mattison.
No way. Insane.
Gus Edwards.
No way.
Brown for
that. Not even close.
Yeah. I really. I think you're wrong there. So we'll see. Hopefully we don't see, but we could. McCaffrey is just getting an absurd amount of work. He's got 175 yards total from scrimmage in every game this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's been ridiculous. He's, other than maybe Dalvin, like, he is the number one overall running back. Dalvin Cook's probably the only person you could make an argument for.
I think Dalvin Cook is the fantasy MVP because you probably got him in the second.
He was going in first late in drafts this year. I mean, it was inflated after the big preseason and stuff, too. It depends on when you draft him, but he was definitely an early or mid-first rounder, late first rounder.
So, what do you want to talk about for Tampa Bay? I mean,
want to mention that Cam Newton came back to without a boot on his foot to practice this week. Kyle Allen is 3-0 as a starter, but he's really done nothing since that first week to instill any confidence for me.
Yeah, Cam Newton is ruled out for this week, though.
Yeah.
But he is practicing again now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's out of a boot. How's that? He's doing something.
Yeah.
I
think they look better without him. I
think
we
haven't
seen them.
Really weak competition. I think the Jaguars are the best team that they've played since Allen took over as quarterback, and I still think they're kind of middling, is what I would say. DJ Moore finally had an okay game with Allen. It's the first time he's led the team in targets since Allen took over. You definitely like him a lot more if Newton were playing. And Greg Olsen's been terrible. Like, I mean,
Olsen is goose egged you, what, 2 weeks in a row?
I think he in a PPR league, he had 2 catches last week. Like, so he might have gave you something in that regard.
Yeah.
Go to the Tampa side of the ball. Sorry, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, best receiver on the Buccaneers.
I think that's pretty.
I've been saying it
I don't think
like
that's
early.
I don't think that's a hot take now.
It was a hot take when I said it 3 weeks ago.
Maybe.
I mean, 9 targets, 7 for 152, 2 touchdowns. His third game, over 100 receiving yards. 4 or 5 games, he scored a touch. Multiple TDs in back-to-back games. And Mike Evans put up a goose egg last week.
Yeah, but I think that was because of Marshawn Lattimore.
I mean,
Marshawn Lattimore has...
Mike Evans has disappeared a bunch this year. It's not just one game.
Marshawn Lattimore has goose egged Evans before, actually. So
in the game he got ejected, that is factually incorrect. He has had a goose egg against the Saints. It was prior to Lattimore getting there.
We'll see.
And then he had the game where he got ejected for fighting with Lattimore.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, typically Mike Evans has not been great against the Saints.
Yeah, he's been pretty bad against them. However,
Ronald Jones was not great last week.
Yeah, do you think that you trade for Mike Evans now? You can probably get him cheap.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely trading for Mike Evans.
Buy him, but don't expect a wide receiver one.
I would expect good stuff moving. This is a pass-friendly offense. I think Mike Evans is going to be good for 1,000 yards and 5-6 touchdowns. You know, when everything is said and done.
Yeah.
And it seems like Godwin has a couple of, like, lingering injuries week to week as well. Like, he's getting a little banged up. So.
He's small. Ronald Jones didn't show up either.
My least favorite player in the NFL, Peyton Barber, scored last week. It is worth noting that he did have a big game against the Panthers earlier this season.
Yes.
Sunday early slate, Seattle and Cleveland. This is my take, but Russell Wilson's my MVP through 5 weeks.
For fantasy?
No, for the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, with what he's working with, like, if you would drop him in, like, you know, Pittsburgh situation or Minnesota, those teams are undefeated. Like, with some of the suspect talent that he has around him, he's got his best receiver's, like, 5'8".
Yeah, the offensive talent for Seattle was always questionable because they always had spent such high draft capital on defensive players, but now the defense is.
And I mean, you kind of took away the defense. Great. It's not the Legion of Boom anymore, and he continues to like make it work.
They're still a good defense.
Four touchdowns last week, one each to Lockett and Metcalf. They're fine rolling out there as like a wide receiver. I think Lockett is wide receiver two, but he's probably the biggest boomer bust two that you have.
Yeah.
He bailed you out with a fantastic touchdown. The smooth criminal. Yeah. The smooth criminal is what they're calling it.
That was awesome.
And then Metcalf he burned Marcus Peters badly, but you know, he's hard to trust as a three. Like, but I don't hate if you're rolling him out there.
Yeah. DK Metcalf has potential to kind of be like a Will Fuller.
Yeah, he's gonna be He was getting a lot of red zone looks. In this one, he did have a two-point attempt that was failed that went his way. But we know from being at Ole Miss that this guy's not much of a red zone threat. Like, he doesn't do well in short spaces. Like, he's a deep threat.
Well, I think he just doesn't know how to run very many routes.
It's,
if you look at his route tree,
a shallow. There's not a lot of limbs on that tree.
Yeah, if you look at his a spaghetti chart of all the routes he's run all year, it's all deep routes.
Yeah,
maybe that's how they're using them, but no, there's one slant. I think that's it.
I mean, I think Will Disley is the best red zone target that they have. He continues to produce. It's on low volume, but he makes every catch count right now. So I'm fine with rolling with him as a tight end one. But yeah, I mean, Seattle options, I like them in this one. Cleveland Browns really been struggling.
They're gonna roll Cleveland probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a rough go for Cleveland, especially Odell Beckham. He's managed receiving lines of 2 for 27 and 2 for 20 over his past 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's been on Baker Mayfield. He goes 8 for 22 for 100 yards, 2 interceptions, and a fumble loss. And played a much worse game, was putting the ball on the turf more that they were getting on top of and taking a lot of sacks. But I do think better days are ahead for Beckham based on the numbers. He's handling a 27% target share. He's 16th among wideouts and passes route run and 11th in targets. I mean, it's going to start clicking for Beckham. If you can get him low right now, I would.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking to a party close to you about what potentially acquiring Odell Beckham was looking like. And Joe Mixon was a good one that came up that if like I was worried about, I feel better about Odell Beckham than I do like Joe Mixon.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand that. You're probably pretty worried about Joe Mixon at this point. We'll get to him.
Those are the type of offers I'd be making for Beckham right now.
Yeah. I think he's a buy low too.
Yep.
Just, yeah. I think him and Evans are buy lows.
Yeah, try two of the bigger ones, along with Hopkins.
So we'll move on to the next game on the slate. It's Houston at Kansas City.
Yeah.
So we'll talk. We kind of talked about this, the way to beat the Chiefs.
You missed your opportunity to buy low on Watson.
Yeah.
5 touchdowns. Record book games for Watson and Fuller. Will Fuller, 9th highest fantasy wide receiver performance in history last week. 14 catches, 217 yards, 3 touchdowns. Here's what I'll say about Will Fuller. Still a wide receiver 3 in my books. Like, I would not count on high volume from Will Fuller ever. Like, Will Fuller is like a 3 for 75 and a touchdown guy on 8 targets.
Yeah, I think the weird thing about this was how many catches he had. Yeah. It's by far his career high.
Yeah, it's not even, he doesn't see this type of volume typically. Oliver is just a terrible cornerback for the Falcons, and Trufant.
The Falcons' defense is just trash.
Yeah,
period.
I mean, it was horrible. But especially Oliver is a real weak spot. Like, if you're looking at matchups, especially like with the Rams coming up next week, like Brandon Cooks, if he's active, probably gonna be a really good play, or Robert Woods, who's gonna get Oliver. Like, mm-hmm. Oliver is a matchup to pick on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean. You also like Carlos Hyde in this game, or I do.
I do, yeah. Against Kansas City, Mac butchered them last week. And doing it in that plotter.
Marlon Mack almost got 30 carries.
Yeah, and I mean.
I think he had 28 or 29 carries for a total of 30
touches. And the Texans are not shy about giving Carlos Hyde carries. I mean, his carries have been above 15 for about 3 weeks now. He's fallen into the end zone on back-to-back weeks.
The Chiefs cut him.
Yeah, it's a revenge game.
Yeah.
They're giving up 5.9 yards per carry on the ground. Anthony Hitchens, their middle linebacker, is going to miss this game. He calls the defense. So I like Carlos Hyde for this week.
Yeah, I have him in a league that I have Josh Jacobs on bye, and I'm feeling like my cup is running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I really like Carlos Hyde as a good DFS play this week. He's going to be really cheap, and I do think he finds his way into the end zone.
All right, so let's talk about the Chiefs now. Mahomes, 1 TD over the last 2 weeks.
I'm not worried about Patrick Mahomes. I'm not even really worried about the ankle. Like, I mean, he practiced in full today. We really need Tyreek Hill back in this offense. It's affecting everything. Like, I mean, the offense is predicated around having to put box coverage on Tyreek Hill all the time to keep him from beating you. It's affected the run game. Like, I mean, it's... They're just not guys getting open quick enough in this offense right now. Like,
so they did the same thing that the Chiefs did in the AFC, or the Patriots did in the AFC Championship. Mm-hmm. They did they went on man coverage, basically, which is extremely hard to do when Tyreek Hill's
on the
field.
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible.
Because you have to bracket him. So, you know, Mahomes maybe not as good in man as zone, I guess. But
I don't think the... it's unfortunate for fantasy owners, the injury to Sammy Watkins. I think this I frankly think that DeMarcus Robinson is a better player than Sammy Watkins. Like, I've seen a lot of Sammy Watkins play football, and DeMarcus Robinson just looks more explosive. So, and he's dealt with hamstring injuries his entire career. Like, this could be a 4 to 5 week thing when it comes to Sammy Watkins. So if I was still holding DeMarcus Robinson, even if Tyreek Hill comes back, I really like him as an option still. And I'm not as high on Byron Pringle.
I know talked about him last week.
I know you mentioned him, but and he had a nice game. I mean, Patrick Mahomes made one of those Patrick Mahomes throws.
Fire him up, dude.
If this week, especially if Tyreek Hill is inactive. Now, we'll get to that. But yeah, Byron Pringle is an okay option. I mean, this Chiefs offense can support 3 receivers. I still would prefer Mecole Hardman over Byron Pringle. Yeah. You know, like...
Pringle doesn't do the same thing that Hill and Hardman.
You know who had a bad game last week was Travis Kelce. He was dropping a lot of balls. Yeah. Like, I mean, he was dropping passes.
But
and he attacked his offensive coordinator.
That is why he is the tight end one. His bad game was 75 yards.
Yeah,
that's his floor.
But definitely did not do this Chiefs offense any favors last week.
I was talking about what kind of how you have to play defense against them earlier, and I think that when teams do have to bracket – I think that better days are ahead for Kelce.
Safety. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, because there's more stuff open in the middle of the field and underneath.
Yeah, I mean,
so.
And people have clearly got a little bit of this dumbed down. I mean, it's a dumbed down Chiefs offense. Like, you know,
Kelce has not scored this year.
There's far less. We're not seeing the same screens that they run, the reverses. Like, it just looks like a shell of itself with the personnel that they have right now. So you're really hoping Tyreek Hill is back out here if you're a Mahomes owner, if you're a Kelce owner. He is still very questionable. He was limited again today. you know, I don't know if they're paying it close to the vest on this one, because all reports are, I mean, practice all limited last week, was running routes. They said it's fine. I mean, it's a matter of contact. It's going to be a game time decision on him. I right now, after today, I was expecting a full practice after getting limited sessions in all last week. I'm saying 40% chance he does play, 60% chance he does not.
Okay, so you're thinking he's not going to play then.
I think
they've said repeatedly they're not going to rush him back, and they're winning.
Well, I mean, they lost that last was before week. They lost last week, and, but, they realized that they're pretending that the Patriots might lose one game all year, and it's going to be if they have to go to New England. Like, I mean, they are really thinking about it like this. If we're the two best teams and we have to go to New England in December or January, we're going to lose that football game.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I feel like they break the curse eventually.
Again, they want to be at Arrowhead at home in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Losing a game right now is...
It's one of the best home field advantages there is.
I mean, and kudos to the Colts for coming in there and running it down their throat, you know?
That's what we've been talking about it all season. Yeah, that's how you beat them. Don't let Mahomes have the ball.
That secondary is not terrible. That defensive front is bad.
Yeah.
Which
is weird because they get after the passer.
Talking about the running back situation, too. Damian Williams really dominated touches last week. Mm-hmm. However, that offensive line could not open up a hole for him. Patrick Mahomes overthrew him.
I don't think LeSean McCoy had any carries. He had a few targets and he lost a fumble. Darrell Williams wasn't there.
They brought him out on third down just for blocking. He was used sparingly. He's an interesting handcuff if you own McCoy or Damian Williams, but I don't think he has any relevance if those two guys are active.
Ooh.
Let's talk Tua Bowl.
Yeah, the Tua Bowl. Washington at Miami.
Jay Gruden obviously relieved of his coaching duties this week.
I thought it was funny how ESPN wouldn't say anything about the incident.
Well, it's an old video, that's why.
Okay.
It was not a current video.
When was it?
It was not from, like, that week. Like,
I mean, regardless.
It was old from all accounts.
Antonio Brown raped that girl a long time ago.
Jay Gruden came out and said prior to last week's game, that video is not new. Like, it's been out in the public for a while. So that's kind of why it was kind of a non-story. Also, smoking weed in Washington, D.C. is legal.
Yeah.
So, you know. But Bill Callahan takes over. He's former Raiders head coach. He emphasizes the run typically very much. He's an old offensive lineman. And I would expect, if you're going to use Adrian Peterson on a week...
This is the week.
This would be the week. Miami gives up the most points to running backs. I also like Chris Thompson in this one. But my question is, are both of these teams... Like, could this end up a 0-0 tie? Because both of these teams want to lose bad at this
Terry
point.
McLaurin will get in.
I mean, it's a good matchup for the receivers, McLaurin and Richardson. Ninth most
Keenum is
going to
start, too, is what they're saying.
Yeah, I think that's the best decision after seeing Colt McCoy last week. Although, let's be honest, they're the only team that's led the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Steven Sims Jr. with 65-yard touchdown early in the game.
No, I mean, we don't think he's anyone to worry about.
It was good to see Terry McLaurin come out of the game. Scott, like, no setback with the hamstring, so I'm feeling good about that in that regard. The other side of the Tua Bowl, it's a good matchup for these Dolphins receivers, too. If you wanted to use Devontae Parker or Preston Williams, I wouldn't hate you.
Criminally underowned.
Yeah, Preston Williams is way too underowned. And I think he is the guy to own over Parker. And then Kenyon Drake. So Kenyon Drake may take a backseat. This is something I don't have down here, but apparently Mark Walton is in line for more touches this week.
Who is Mark Walton?
He's another running back. He picked up like 6 for 35 in their last game, and apparently might seed Kenyon Drake if you're wanting to own a Dolphins running back. Mark Walton is going to play some this week, from what we understand.
Next game on our slate is Philadelphia at Minnesota.
Yep.
This will be an interesting game.
Probably a lot of run in this one is what I think you're going to see teams really try to grind in this one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty low scoring affair here. The squeaky wheel does indeed get the oil sometimes.
The squeaky feel?
Maybe.
You're talking about the squeaky feeling?
Yeah, so 8 targets, 7 catches, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Here's the problem with this Minnesota offense. I mean, they decided they could throw the ball last week. Yeah. They were like, oh, yeah, right. We did pay $84 million to Kirk Cousins. He's capable of playing quarterback.
Stephon Diggs laid up an egg, though.
This is what it's going to look like.
Four targets, three catches, 43.
This is what it's going to look like week to week with these two guys. One of them's going to have a big game, and one of them is going to be a dud.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that we might see less of Diggs.
Unless Diggs gets traded, which...
Because
they just paid him a boatload of money. You know what I mean? Yeah. That contract's going to
be
hard.
So here's why I think we're going to see less Diggs. Even when they do throw the ball, Thielen has better skill set for what they want to do with the...
Kirk Cousins loves the slots. What you're trying to say.
Yes, and he runs better routes, too.
He also is top five in the NFL in deep routes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
Whereas Diggs is literally primarily a deep threat.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see some yo-yoing, seesawing, whatever you want to call it. I think in a given week, one of them's going to be really good and one of them's going to be really bad. They're going to be both boom or bust, and you're not going to see a lot of weeks where... Now, granted, Philadelphia has a terrible
secondary.
But I have no confidence that Mike Zimmer is not just going to try to run...
Philadelphia's secondary is dreadful.
I mean, yeah, it's dreadful. I mean, it really is. Actually, well, they had two interceptions returned. I mean, it was Luke Falk, though, last week. You know what I mean? But at least some confidence there for them. You know, they had a great week last week. I had them for 36 points in one league. But I mean, exploit anyone with their third string quarterback. What I would say.
So let's talk about the Eagles.
Yeah, the big story is, first, Darren Sproles is going to be out multiple weeks with a quad. And then that Jordan Howard has scored now 5 touchdowns in his past 3 games. Like, he's looking like a pretty decent flex option right now. I mean, I'm off Miles Sanders. It's Jordan Howard's job to lose.
I think I'm okay to trot out Jordan Howard.
I mean,
now.
Doug Peterson said this week he's trending towards Jordan Howard getting more carries with Sproles out.
But I will not be surprised at all if Miles Sanders somehow led the backfield in touches.
The way the Philadelphia season breaks out typically is like quarters. Like, you know what I mean? For like one quarter, Jordan Howard's going to be great. And then all of a sudden, Miles Sanders will have, you know, 3 stretch game where he's going to be relevant. Like, would I be surprised against a Vikings team that does a good job of stopping the run if Miles Sanders had 70 yards receiving in this one in lieu without Darren Sproles? Maybe, because he's shown an adeptness to catch the ball.
Yeah.
I think both guys, I would not be cutting Miles Sanders at this point. I'd be a little more patient with him.
No.
It's not great that Darren Sproles' injury, one of the toughest guys in the NFL, but it's great that it's a two-headed situation at this point. This is what you were hoping for coming into the season, where these guys are going to be on the field all the time now. But, I mean, the negative...
The attrition of the year was going to get worse.
Yeah, the down on Jordan Howard, though, he hasn't cleared 13 touches. He's only cleared 13 touches in a game once this season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so the volume...
Also, Minnesota pretty salty.
And they know a thing or two about Jordan Howard as well.
Yes.
They're very familiar with Jordan Howard and his running style. However, I love the Philadelphia offensive line. I think when they're in close, they're going to go to Howard. I think he's the primary goal line back.
Yeah.
So, trending the right way for Jordan Howard right now is what I would say.
Yep. So we'll move on to New Orleans at Jacksonville. This is going to be a little bit of an interesting guy. Jared Cook had his best game Sunday, posting a 4 for 41 and 1 touchdown line on 6 targets.
Yeah, if you're looking to replace Darren Waller or somebody this week, Evan Ingram, Jared Cook's been cut a lot of places. I mean, he's been the aforementioned dreadful for this season.
Dreadful. Teddy Bridgewater, not dreadful.
I
thought he would be.
I can't believe that they're
Sean Payton is the man.
I mean, they're playing inspired
football.
I hate
that guy. But
this team has some heart.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Saints.
Nobody circles the wagons like... You don't take that away from the Buffalo Bills, okay? Don't ever try to say anyone circles the wagons. Like,
so, yeah, he's... Teddy Bridgewater's running the offense.
I hate him in this game. If you were thinking of using him this week outdoors at Jacksonville, I know Jacksonville's not what they were, but I hate the Saints outdoors.
I'm playing him this weekend.
I hate the Saints outdoors, to be honest with you. I'd rather have Gardner Minshew than him this weekend.
Yeah.
At home. If I had a choice between Minshew and Bridgewater, if I was
Yeah, I think the Saints defense is sneaky good, so I don't know if I would want Minshew, but he's been great too.
Yeah.
374 yards last week.
Yep.
Two touchdowns.
Mobile, too. Showed some mobility as well. Picked up about 40, 50 yards on the ground.
DJ Shark did it again.
Yeah, it's not... Okay. So
I know, it's Chark.
It's Chark.
Yeah, I know.
It's Chark. They came out this week. They're tired of people saying Baby Shark, doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
So, just because Sharkandrick West is no longer in the league, I'm officially dubbing him this year's Charknado.
Is he not in the league anymore?
No, Chark is gone. Sharkandrick West is gone.
Charknado.
He is officially now the Charknado because that one never caught on. Like, you know. But I'm throwing out Charknado as a better one than Baby Shark, doo-doo-doo.
Let's get it. Yeah.
Because he is not doo-doo-doo.
No. He's really good.
Yeah, he's a top 20 receiver. 8 for 164, 2 touchdowns. He has 10 receptions of 20-plus yards, and the Saints have already allowed 16 receptions of 20-plus yards. That's third most in the NFL. Fire up DJ Shark every week with confidence. Yes. Even in a two-receiver league, he should be playing right now.
See, and the thing is, you probably...
I'd play him over Robert Woods.
Yeah.
I'd play him over... Both of the Rams guys, even when healthy, like not Cooper Kupp, but Cooks.
Would you play him over Mike Evans?
Yeah, right now I would. Yeah, with confidence.
Really?
I'm rolling with him.
That's interesting.
I mean, would
that's
you?
A hot take. That's a hot take.
I wouldn't trade. Okay, look, now here's the difference. Right now, until I see something from Mike Evans, also we know he has James Bradbury this week. Yeah. I would definitely fire up DJ Chark over Mike Evans this week in a two-receiver format.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I do think he gets Lattimore. I don't think that matters that much.
Yeah, I think it does.
I mean...
I think this is going to be a floor game for Chark, which is going to be like 65 yards.
I don't know. I like Chark.
Yeah. So, Leonard Fournette had another good day. He did get in the end zone.
Finally.
23 for 108 and a touchdown.
Yeah. New Orleans, 6 fewest points allowed to running backs. I prefer the passing options in this one, just based on the matchup is what I would say. I mean, the Saints have been vulnerable in the secondary with P.J. Williams and Marcus Williams. Those guys are not the greatest. Von Bell is pretty much a glorified linebacker. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. In terms of the deep targets for Shark, I could see him getting another one in this one.
Yeah.
But Minshew, let's talk Minshew.
Nemanja?
Yeah, I mean, it's at a fever pitch right now. 2 TDs in 3 straight games. New Orleans has given up the 5th most points to quarterbacks. Somebody asked me this the other day, and it's almost starting to sound not crazy at this point. On a given week, who would you rather start, Aaron Rodgers or Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, it's pretty tough, man.
It's close, but it's still Rodgers for me, but like...
But not with confidence.
Not with confidence. Yeah, like I'm... The way they're running the ball in Green Bay, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers cares about not putting up big numbers. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like, he cares about being 4-1 right now.
I don't
now.
Know, man. He's a little bit more of a diva than...
He cares about wins and losses, and that keeps him happy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? 4-1 and throwing for 230 yards a game, as long as they're winning, I don't think he'll care. Now, if they start losing and he's still throwing for 230, they're going to be a little annoyed.
Yeah.
Let's talk AFC North. These are always fun. There will be ejections. Cincinnati at Baltimore. We talked about Joe Mixon earlier a little bit. How are you feeling about Joe Mixon?
Dreadful.
I mean, it's the word of the year.
You feel dreadful about it.
Yeah, I mean, on the season, 66 carries, 242 yards, no touchdowns, 16 targets, 12 for 68 and a touchdown through the air. He's barely averaging. He's under 50 yards a game. And his 4.9 yards per carry from 18 is down to 3.7.
Yeah, the Bengals are really bad.
That offensive line is bad. Yeah. And they're falling behind in games because of their defense is another thing. Yep. And they're forced to throw the ball a lot.
Which brings us to Auden Tate. Because they also are really banged up at throwing the ball.
Yeah,
and A.J. Green and
I mean, Auden
who
Tate
else? Bailed, John Ross. They're both on IR.
Yeah, I mean, Auden Tate bailed you out with a touchdown. He's not somebody I'm starting with confidence, but he does have 6 targets in at least straight. He also has a drop in every game as well.
They're also going to get down and have to throw.
And I mean, he is big. They looked for him a lot. He caught a red zone touchdown last week, and he had another one thrown, like at least 2 others thrown his way during that game. So they clearly have confidence in him in the red zone. But TD in 50 yards in three straight games. He's somebody that I want to be on the back end of my bench. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fine with that. It's not somebody I want to start. But Baltimore has given up the 10th most points to wide receivers this year, and I do think they will get down in this game. So,
yeah, maybe you have, like, Tyreek Hill and T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
And T.Y.'s on bye, and you don't know about Hill, so you're like, all right, I might have to trot this guy out there.
I mean, he probably shouldn't be on... He should be owned in at least 50% of leagues in deeper formats is what I would say. Not somebody I have a lot of confidence in, but if AJ Green were to get traded, then I'd feel a lot better about him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there seems to be a sentiment in the league that there's more than meets the eye for AJ Green right now.
They're clearly trying to find a suitor for him.
Maybe trade. Maybe he's holding out for more money is another thing I've heard.
I don't think the Bengals want him back.
Yeah. So
I think if they could find somebody to work. The problem is negotiating a deal with AJ Green. I don't think he's going to agree to go anywhere unless he has a contract that goes with it. And I'm not sure anyone's really sold on his health and giving him an extension. And it sounds like AJ Green is holding out more for money than it is for injury. Yeah. And I just don't know if there are many suitors out there that want to trade for him and give him a contract extension.
Yeah.
Nothing short of like New England swooping in and saying, hey, you want to, we'll give you a prove it, you know, God. You want to prove it. Like, that's the only place I could really see him landing and like
that would be so,
without a contract.
That would be so Boston.
Yeah, it would.
I would be furious.
We'll see what happens with them in the coming weeks. They're headed into their bye, so like I believe after this week, so you know, maybe some clarity there around AJ Green. Baltimore, great matchup for the Ravens on the ground. Ingram and Edwards. Cincinnati gives up second most points to running backs.
They also are just always getting assaulted because they're usually down.
Yeah.
And teams are just pounding it.
Yeah. So I like them. Sneed and Brown maybe downgrade a bit. Cincinnati kind of sneaky good against wide receivers. And then Mark Andrews, eighth fewest points to tight ends. This feels like a big Ingram and Edwards game. I think Edwards is, even if you're in a desperation, like, flex situation.
Well, you got bye week issues.
Yeah, with bye weeks, I think Edwards is viable this week. Probably gets at least 50 and has a chance to score a touchdown.
That is the end of the early slate. We'll move into the late slate here. San Francisco at L.A.
Yep. Tevin Coleman returned from injury in week 5. Pretty good week. Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Breida had a better week.
Some would argue that, because after the 83-yard touchdown, Matt Breida did not do a lot with his carries.
No, he did catch another touchdown, though.
But it was an even backfield, so 24 snaps for Coleman, 25 for Breida. Annoyingly, our boy, Ricky. 22 snaps. Like, that was,
yeah.
That was interesting, and Jeff Wilson wasn't active for this one.
Ricky's just a winner, dude. He's a player.
Yeah, he's a player. I mean, he's great on special teams. I was surprised, though, that this was like a 30-30-30 split with these guys.
Yeah.
You know, that was surprising. One thing I will say about these guys that really, really sucks, Kyle Juszczyk, going to miss about 4 to 6 weeks with a meniscus, sprained MCL. That does hurt these guys. Like, I mean, he's the most versatile fullback in the NFL.
And we've seen what Shanahan can do with a fullback.
Yeah, I mean,
he uses them.
It's part of his offense. Now, it'd be interesting if we start seeing George Kittle get some of that Kyle Juszczyk work.
What about the Vulture Wilson? He was inactive on Monday, but Wilson, do you think he could play fullback?
No, they were using a tight end last week. I know Wilson was inactive, but Wilson's a running back. You know what I mean? Like, he's not much of a blocker. He's kind of a battering ram. But yeah, we'll see how they do it. Some people are suggesting, though, that George Kittle's going to get some more little design screenplays and stuff that Juszczyk was getting.
You like
that? Which you would like that. But for the running backs, it's something to note. It's not like, it's like, hey, this was great this week, but note that Kyle Juszczyk is going to be gone. Like, so maybe that does open up more targets for Kittle, more carries for these guys, because he does get 7-8 looks a game, you know, as well.
Yeah. He got in the end zone last week, too.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle Juszczyk's a good player. It's unfortunate that they're going to be without him for better part of a month, it looks like.
So, for the L.A. Rams, Todd Gurley has been the league's premier touchdown scorer over the past two seasons. 40 touchdowns, 29 games.
Yep.
And he's scoring a lot this year.
Yep. I mean, it's been kind of a frustrating year, but one thing you can't argue with him is the touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He goes 15 for 52 and 2 touchdowns last week.
You have absolutely no reason to believe that this is going to stop.
Yeah, I mean, scored 5 times in 5 games. He played a season-high 93% of the snaps on Thursday. He's played at least 64% of the snaps in all five of the games, so that's great. You know, we have the workload consideration. The thing that's troublesome and has really prevented him from being in that upper echelon of running back ones is the underwhelming receiving numbers. Just 68 yards on 21 targets this year. But again, similar to Beckham, if you look at the underlying numbers here, he's seen 16 targets over the past 2 games, which is good, which is way up from how they were using him earlier. And he ranks 4th in running back routes ran this season. I mean, it's not his fault that Cooper Kupp is open all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's kind of how it is. So I'm feeling better about Gurley. Because I think he has an upside to lead the league in touchdowns still.
We talked about him last week, Gerald Everett.
Yeah, shows up again this week. He was probably one of the top tight end pickups if you were trying to replace somebody this week, whether it was Herndon or Everett was kind of the debate. It was a really bad week for waivers, to be honest with you. It was just terrible.
Horrible waiver.
Probably one of the worst ones I've seen in a long time. So the two guys were Chris Herndon and Gerald Everett. Everett last week, 11 targets, 7 for 136. That's back-to-back 100-yard receiving games for him. Still don't have a lot of confidence, but I do like him a little bit more if Brandon Cooks is going to miss some time.
Which it looks like he probably will.
He is in the league's concussion protocol.
And we talked about on this show before that.
Feels like it. But that was a Thursday game that they played, though, too. So yeah. He has 10 days, so he has a better chance than some to be ready for this game. Definitely have to check his status. If Cooks is out, also Josh Reynolds, somebody that should be on your radar there.
So the next game on the late slate is the Atlanta Falcons at the Arizona Cardinals.
Man, the Falcons need this one.
They're so trash.
They need this one so bad.
I don't think they're going to win.
I mean, I just don't understand. Dan Quinn doesn't hire a defensive coordinator. Everyone's asking him to give up play calling duties. But guess what? There's nobody to give up the play calling duties to.
Yeah.
Because you didn't hire a defensive coordinator. You're not Bill Belichick.
Well, decided to, like, go down with the shit.
So, basically. Unfortunately, Atlanta sports are just burning today. The funniest thing I read today was Twitter. When the Braves were getting routed by 10 runs in the first inning, was fire Dan Quinn. This is his fault.
Yeah.
It was one of the best ones that I read.
I saw that. That was hilarious.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
So the only way that it could have been worse with the Atlanta Braves is if they lost 28-3.
Yeah.
I mean, it was looking like that for a while. Let's talk. I mean, so as bad as the Falcons have been, they've been really good for fantasy.
They're awesome in fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, they've been a wonderful fantasy option.
Matt Ryan, only quarterback to throw for over 300 yards every game.
Yeah, and 3 TDs in 3 of 5 games. Like, you can't complain there.
He's also been killing you with turnovers, too.
Yeah,
and that's
a great
probably not going to continue.
It's a great matchup here. You like this one, especially for Austin Hooper. Arizona giving up the most points to tight ends. But let's talk about the two receivers who aren't Julio Jones real quick. Calvin Ridley, 5 for 88 and a touchdown. I think people are criminally underrating Calvin Ridley right
See,
now.
See, I don't, I'm, no. I think he's exactly where he should be.
So he's been on the field for 80% of Atlanta's pass plays. That's up from 62% in 2018. He's now handled 6-plus targets in 4 or 5 games. He's actually averaging a higher yards per target, 8.9 up to 9.5. That number seems hard to sustain. You know, that's pretty high. But he has 3 TDs in 5 games. That puts him on track to come close to his 2018 production at 10 touchdowns. Yeah.
I still don't believe he's going to come close to that production, though.
I've talked
about this on this show before.
I think with how bad the Falcons' defense is and them constantly playing catch-up, I think Calvin Ridley has a really good chance to repeat his season from last year. I think he's an interesting buy low right now. I think he's kind of flown under the radar, and I think he's a really high. Who would you rather have, Calvin Ridley or Will Fuller?
Will Fuller.
No, that one's really close for me.
Will Fuller has way higher ceiling.
I think weekly floor Ridley's is a little bit better.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
You know, so yeah, I like Calvin Ridley, and Mohamed Sanu's been fine as well. 5 for 42 with a touchdown last week, at least 5 receptions in every game, and 50
Julio Jones has been kind of quiet the last 2 weeks, so I think this is going to be a Julio game.
Well, he's going to get the Patrick Peterson treatment.
Yeah, he don't.
That did not matter last year.
He owns Patrick Peterson, and has since they were at LSU and Alabama.
Other note, Devontae Freeman, 5 receptions in back-to-back games now. Still can't get anything going on the ground, but we're seeing him come alive a little bit in the passing game.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, it's, I mean, he's got at least 70 yards from scrimmage.
Again, this team could fall behind in a lot of games and completely abandon the run.
They will have to.
Yeah, that's the concern with Freeman there.
So Arizona has a chance to get a dub here.
They are at home, and this could be the breakout game for Kyler Murray, to be honest.
They won last week, too, right?
Who did they play last week? Arizona, I don't think they did.
Brian McCann just retired.
Oh, that's interesting.
Went out on a terrible note.
Yeah, getting benched for a pinch hitter.
Yeah.
But again, back to the Kyler Murray breakout potentially. Atlanta's giving up the second most points to quarterbacks. And after totaling 17 yards on 6 carries weeks 1 through 2, Kyler Murray has at least 69 rushing yards or a touchdown each of the past 3 outings. So they're still feeling out.
He's starting to run a little more.
Well, they're still trying to figure out what they can get away with. Like, Cliff Kingsbury is also feeling out this offense. I mean,
they did. They beat the Bengals.
Yeah, okay, there you go. They did beat the Bengals.
They're about to get hot. I mean, beat the Falcons here.
Hey, win one yesterday, win one today.
They beat the Falcons here. They'll be 2-3-1.
I mean, but he's looking better. But again, back to the two of them, Kingsbury and Murray, are feeling out what they can get away with in the NFL. Like, they're not playing Kansas every other week and putting up 60 points and doing crazy stuff. So, I mean, they're still removing stuff and adding stuff to this playbook. I think it's going to take a year for them to know what they can do in the NFL because everyone's a beast at every position. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean, in the NFL. But I do like Kyler Murray's an interesting daily play this week against the Falcons, especially after the performance Watson had. The Falcons are completely unprepared to defend mobile quarterbacks, as we have seen over the first couple weeks. Christian Kirk, questionable with a knee. He's doing a little bit.
Also, what are the Falcons notoriously horrible at on defense? Covering running backs who run passing routes.
Well, we'll talk about the running back of this one because we don't know if one of the best pass-catching running backs in the NFL is going to be available.
David Johnson's receiving numbers look like an elite wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be questionable, very questionable from what I've read coming into this one. Like,
Chase Edmonds is the handcuff.
He's been fine in relief of David Johnson in the past. With the amount of passes that go around in this offense, and they are one of the leaders in red zone looks. They haven't done much with them. They kicked a bunch of field goals. Yeah. Zane Gonzalez killing it for you this year. Yeah. He's been kicking for you. But definitely monitor Johnson's status. Edmonds, another good pickup this week if he's still available or if you're a David Johnson owner.
Next game is Tennessee at Denver.
Derrick Henry, no one else. I don't have to say anything else on the Titans.
Yeah, me neither.
Denver gives up 6 most points to running backs. They're really good against the pass. They're really good against quarterbacks. It's Derrick Henry or bust.
Yep.
Denver, they only have 2 usable pieces right now. Philip Lindsay and Cortland Sutton. That's it. Like, I will say, if you're looking for a desperation tight end, I'm probably going to have to use him somewhere because we'll talk about Chris Herndon in the next game. Is Noah Fant. Tennessee has given up the 5th most points to tight ends, but I don't feel good about it.
Yeah, I hate that.
I hate Noah Fant, but
there's just something about the Titans, man.
I'm like down to like picking between like Hayden Hurst, how Ryan boring, Griffin, and Noah Fant.
How
right?
boring was that game last week, the Bills-Titans game?
Well, Cairo Santos was keeping it interesting for sure.
He did get fired.
Yeah. Whatever, Bills are 3-0 on the road.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. I was definitely flipping. I'm not going to lie. I was having trouble watching that. Yeah. A lot of pound it down your throat football and then punt.
Yeah. Dallas at Jets is the next game we got on our slate here. Michael Gallup was very good again.
Yep. 14 targets, 11 for 113 and a touchdown.
So he's only played in 3 games, but he's averaging over 100 yards per game.
Yeah, he's produced top 35 fantasy weeks in each of those games. Eighth at wide receiver in fantasy points during the weeks when he's been active.
The 14 targets was a lot. His other two games he's played, he had about 6 or 7 targets in each one.
And he was on the field for 87% of the snaps. One thing you were probably concerned with this week is how much he would actually play off the knee injury. Looks fine to me.
Played a lot.
Yeah, played a ton.
And also, it looks like Cooper got nicked up a little bit. I think he's still going to play.
And Cooper is always nicked up.
Yeah.
You know.
Everyone's always nicked up.
Yeah, at this point, it's the NFL. Everyone is nicked up. It's like Julian Edelman's going to be... Julian Edelman has 3 broke ribs right now. That guy looks rough, but is killing it.
They're surgically removing them and replacing them with titanium.
I mean, dude, this guy
nothing
is
surprise.
The guy's unbelievable, you know what I mean? Like, But Gallup's been really good. I mean, start all your Cowboys as you would in this one. This is a good matchup for them. I especially like Gallup, too, though, in this one here.
Dak threw for like 400-something yards.
It was mostly
week.
In garbage
but,
time.
Yeah, but they were trying to catch up. He also threw 2 or 3 picks, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was not pretty.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold is expected back from mono this week for the Jets. I don't know how much that matters in this matchup because it's a terrible matchup to come back to. Dallas has given up the second fewest points to wide receivers, so I'm fading Crowder and Anderson this week. Mm-hmm. Where you beat Dallas is on the ground. They've given up the second most points to running backs. This is great news for Le'Veon Bell owners, I will say that. Having Darnold back at the helm and the respect of a passing game, like, potentially, is going to be nice for him.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the other big news coming out of this one, knucklehead Chris Herndon, who's on a 4-week suspension, is now probably not going to play because he injured his hamstring working out in private this week. Also, Adam Gase, a bit of a knucklehead, even before coming into this game, was probably not going to play Chris Herndon because Adam Gase is the worst football coach ever.
No, Freddie Kitchens is worse.
No, Adam Gase is bad. Adam Gase is really bad.
You think he's worse than Freddie Kitchens?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Dude, he was just...
You hate Freddie Kitchens.
He was just the coach of the Dolphins. Like, they literally... Like, I mean, the guy has rode the coattails of one good season with Peyton Manning. The Chicago Bears fired him. The most inept offensive team over the last, like, decade fired Adam Gase, okay? Like, I mean, he's just, like, some of the press conferences and the things he said, that guy's a whack job, right? Adam Gase is a whack job.
He always looks really strange.
Yeah, like he just... Looks like he's hallucinating all the time or something.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, man. Yeah. He's a strange dude.
You're not supposed to eat the bath salts,
Adam Gase. I don't know. Like, Adam Gase, I mean, he's sniffing smelly salts.
I saw that.
It's like, I mean, I don't know. This guy,
those are for when you get knocked out, Adam Gase.
Like, when are people going to stop giving this guy work? Like, you know, like, I'm confused. Like, Todd Bowles has a fantastic defense down in Tampa get the offense going.
Wasn't this guy his good season with Peyton Manning?
With Peyton Manning calling plays.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, wait a second.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
Anyways, you know, Adam Gase is just a bad coach. But if Herndon were to play, this was a good matchup. He did catch 71% of the balls from Darnold. He's somebody that you want on your team, especially if you're tight end hungry. He has the potential to be really good in the second half.
Yeah.
In an offense that is predicated around kind of dinking and dunking. We've seen whatever, Jamison Crowder
I don't
has
think
16
it's
catches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that will happen again, though.
It was a dink and dunk offense in Miami.
Yeah, true.
Peyton Manning.
And that's where Jarvis Landry was so successful.
Yes, I'm telling you, it's a dink and dunk.
What about Bebe Thomas sighting? I think he had 14 targets or something.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, it was awful. He caught like 3.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I have no faith in Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, so really there's nothing else to talk about here. We'll move on to...
I will say this. I've seen a lot of people drop. I saw Robbie Anderson dropped in a 16-team league I'm in. I think that's crazy.
Yeah.
Just because like Luke Falk had to play for 3 weeks, you should not be cutting bait on
Robbie Anderson, another receiver that destroyed the Falcons.
I would buy low on Robbie Anderson because it's low.
You can get him for pennies.
But with Darnold back, I have a lot more confidence in Robbie Anderson, just not in this one.
What if Darnold comes back and is still terrible, though?
He was respectable last year.
Are we thinking that this mono isn't cured him of being a terrible quarterback?
He's
He's not good.
I hate to say it, but like if you're the Bills, you're feeling pretty good about Josh Allen when you look at Baker, who else? Yeah. Sam Darnold. Jackson really struggled last week.
I hated that pick.
Yeah, I did. I mean, you still definitely see it on tape when you look at Josh Allen. You're like, this guy has some deficiencies.
Yeah.
He's a gamer, though.
Yeah, he's a gamer.
And he's got the biggest arm in the NFL. And that's something you can't teach that.
I think Mahomes is going to figure out.
I would love to see those two throw off.
Yeah.
It would be damn close between those two for biggest arm in the NFL.
Yeah.
Sunday night football prime time.
Yeah, finally get to the prime time here. This is not the prime time matchup I was wanting though.
No, Pittsburgh and the Chargers.
The possibly Rudolph-less Steelers.
They're gonna be without Mason Rudolph. They're going to be without him.
Got rocked.
It's Devlin Hodges. Although today, interesting note: Giants taking phone calls on Eli Manning. Apparently, the Steelers are one of those teams that inquired.
I mean, I could see that.
I don't hate it, but
I wonder how much you got to get. They're gonna ask for it though.
I mean, Devlin Hodges, though, is probably just as capable of handing off to James Conner as Eli Manning is.
Yeah.
You hate this for Juju Smith-Schuster, because this definitely... he's going to get Casey Hayward this week. It's going to be a bad game.
Yeah.
He also had a bad fumble last week.
He's been a huge disappointment.
I mean, he's been fine. He scored last week and...
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, he did. He scored last
week. No, he did score, but he hasn't been fine. He scored two touchdowns all year, and both of them were like 70-yard catch and runs.
You'll take it.
Yeah, but the other 3 weeks he killed you, especially for where you drafted him.
So is Adam Thielen on weeks. So is Robert Woods on
Adam
weeks.
Thielen hasn't so killed
Mike,
you
so
except
Mike
for one
Evans
week.
On, so is Mike Evans on weeks.
One bad week is not the same as three when there's only been five games.
Oh, Mike
I'm
Evans
really low on Juju Smith-Schuster.
I mean, I'm low because of the quarterback situation. This is where I'm the most low on. We did say that Jalen Samuels would throw a pass. It was predictably picked off last week, and now he's going to miss a month with an MCL injury.
Happy trails, Jalen Samuels.
See ya. I mean, Benny Snell's going to get more snaps. I have no confidence in him. He has looked terrible in his limited action, but with the way James Conner has been banged up,
he could have value going forward.
Yeah, he could have value going forward. So maybe if you're in a deeper format, Benny Snell, someone to keep on the end of your bench.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I would say.
I think this is going to be a big game for Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler on the Charger side.
Yeah, I mean,
because I think that they're going to be up.
I think the Chargers are the number one defense start of the week.
Yeah.
Against Devlin Hodges.
Yeah.
From Samford.
Samford. Not Stanford.
Samford. Tiny Christian University in Lower Alabama.
Better known for tennis players.
Yeah. And priests.
Yes. Yes.
He was okay last week in his limited
seven for nine for 68 yards. He was a better quarterback than Jalen Samuels was.
Yes. He was more effective than Jalen Samuels is what I will say. Let's talk about the Chargers now that we're done blasting the Steelers' offense. James Conner or bust here. Melvin Gordon, 2019 debut, didn't go so well. I mean, looked really bad in a pretty good matchup, what we thought was a pretty good matchup. The Broncos get pretty shredded on the ground.
Got 12 carries for 31 yards, 6 targets. He caught 4 of those for 7 yards. Eckler got almost all the pass catching
work. Yeah, it was
work.
Like 16 targets.
He actually broke a record for receptions by a running back.
He also was split out wide as a receiver, too.
Yes, which we talked about last week was probably going to happen.
But it was pretty much a 40-60. It was a 40-60 split. They were on the field at the same time. Here's the thing about Melvin Gordon. He is not an efficient runner. He has never been an efficient runner. Okay, like he is a 3.5 yards per carry guy. Like his value is tied to touchdowns and volume. If you own Melvin Gordon right now, and this is a timeshare, this is a little concerning as a Melvin Gordon owner. Like, because Melvin Gordon relies on 24, 25 touches a game and all of the goal line work to be relevant.
The indication was that he would get more work as he was deemed to be ready for it. Didn't look super ready for more.
Yeah, did not look last super week, ready.
I'll say. But I still think better days ahead. Austin Eckler lost a fumble, too. This is like his third or fourth fumble. Third or fourth fumble this year?
Yeah, it is.
One of them to basically lose the game.
Yeah, against the Lions, was it?
Yeah, the red zone spike, basically. Yeah. I mean, I know he's been great. Austin Eckler's been great. In PPR, he's winning you leagues.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. And he has standalone value even if Melvin Gordon is...
As we saw last year. But I do think that Melvin Gordon will continue to get more work.
Yep. I mean, Melvin Gordon needs 20-plus carries a game to be Melvin Gordon of last year. That's the thing here. And if Justin Jackson gets healthy and mixes in some, which I do think he will, I think it's going to be kind of like a Raheem
Justin
Mostert.
Jackson looked good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like a Raheem Mostert. Like
if you're, 19, in, a if you're snaps. In a dynasty league, go get Justin Jackson.
Melvin Gordon's not going to be back next year.
Yeah.
It's going to be Jackson.
And Jackson looked good.
It's going to be Jackson and Eckler, excuse me.
Yeah.
Mike Williams looked pretty healthy last week, 13 targets. Only does 6 for 74, but good to see. I think he's a good buy low as well. Mm-hmm.
Hunter Henry is somehow going to try to play.
Yeah, returned to limited practice this week. He's questionable. I think he might miss this one.
Didn't he break his leg?
Fracture in his knee.
It's a little micro fracture. I just remember it was a broken bone that started.
He's doing stuff. Anthony Lynn is pretty transparent with the media when it comes to injuries. He's like, he was looking good. He was moving around well. That doesn't mean he's cleared for contact. Tyreek Hill was moving around well, but that doesn't mean he's cleared for contact yet either. Those are the issues there.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, tight end is.
I would not be.
Tight end is so deep this year.
Unless I had Jimmy Graham or T.J. Hockenson as like a replacement for him this week, you know, where like, I there's no way I could use Hunter Henry this week. I'm sorry, I couldn't. I want to like I'm gonna take a wait and see approach. I'm not a Hunter Henry guy to begin with. Like,
yeah.
Just with all the mouths to feed and the two backs and Williams.
Well, they have no they've only got Keenan Allen right now. Well, I guess Mike Williams.
And Mike Williams too. Yeah, and they're fine.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of mouths to feed there, and Hunter Henry might be like a 4 or 5 target a game guy, maybe. Could produce like Trey Burton numbers.
Gross.
Yeah. Monday Night Football, Detroit at Green Bay. Matthew Stafford entered Week 5 bye as the 7th highest scoring quarterback in fantasy points.
Huh. We never would have guessed that.
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay, though, really tough matchup. 7th fewest to quarterbacks. He had a career-high mark in – he's hit a career-high yard mark in yards per attempt at 8 and average depth of throw, 11.5, which is nice to see. Normally, this is more of a dink-and-dunk offense. And you were a little concerned with Darrell Bevell being there, too, that he's kind of a run-first guy. But Matt Stafford's paying some dividends right now.
Kerryon Johnson's been great.
Yeah, and I love him in this one. Green Bay gives up the 3rd most points to running backs. I will say this for Galladay and Jones. This feels like a Marvin Jones game for me. Versus Green Bay, 85 yards per game, 7 touchdowns in 6 games against Green Bay over his career.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Marvin Jones has missed some time. But Marvin Jones has absolutely shredded the Packers.
Yeah, and you think that...
Galladay's going to draw Jair Alexander, too.
Who has been awesome.
So, I like Marvin Jones. Actually, in my wife's league, she owns Devontae Adams, and I managed to get Marvin Jones on waivers this week.
Did you really?
Yeah, so I have a nice option there. That's a, you know, so very very fortunate for Lady Darkie.
So, what do you think about Devontae Adams?
Devontae Adams is a really tough call this week. You know what I mean? He's questionable with the toe.
And it's Monday Night Football.
And the other hard thing is Geronimo Allison and Marquez Valdes-Scantling do not inspire as backup options anyway for him.
Not in this offense.
Nah, this is a run-first offense. Aaron Jones goes bananas last week.
Yeah. There were a lot of interesting scores last week.
182 total yards, 4 touchdowns on 24 touches. The thing that was weird, okay, Trey Carson played 20 snaps last week. Like, what do the Packers have against Aaron Jones at this point?
They hate him.
Like, I don't know what it is, but like 20 snaps for Trey Carson? Everyone thought it was going to be Dexter Williams, to be honest with you, was like the guy that everyone had as like maybe he figures in. It was Trey Carson. It was weird. He was on the field a lot, you know, and Jamal Williams could be back this week. He's questionable with the concussion. We'll see there. But I do think this is a good. It was a good game against the Cowboys. Detroit is another great matchup. Aaron Jones is the guy you want to own. I don't think he's going to have four touchdowns every week.
No.
But
he looked good in a pass-catching game, too.
Yeah, but that's been the role that Williams has primarily been out there
for. I know, but Jones is just better.
Aaron Jones is better than Jamal Williams at everything. Yes. I'm not denying that, but the Packers don't seem to think that.
Yeah, I don't know why.
He did get Aaron Rodgers blown up in pass protection quite a bit last year.
Well,
I will say that for Aaron Jones is that he is not much of a pass protector, and that is a problem, especially when you have Aaron Rodgers back there. But what do you think about Davante Adams? We kind of jumped off him really quick.
There's not a lot of options for you to do anything about it, you know.
What do you think about like going forward though?
Oh. I mean, I don't think he's going to put up the same numbers that he put up last year just because they don't throw it as much. The way I feel about Davante Adams is basically the same way I feel about Aaron Rodgers.
And I mean, you are in a division where you're going to have to... I mean, this is a tough matchup if you were to play against Slay. And then you have the Bears and Vikings again this year. The schedule is tough for the Green Bay Packers. Like, yeah. You know, they just play a lot of good defenses.
Yeah. As opposed to somebody like the Patriots.
I still think he's an interesting buy low right now because he is a low. I mean, even before the injury, he was a buy low. The injury kind of like kicked it up. But turf toe is one of those injuries that does scare me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't tend to go away until the season is over, like until you have time just to not be on it.
We've seen it humble some people too. But we've also seen guys like Julio Jones just play with it the whole time and be fine. So it's just really vague.
It's going to be a week-to-week situation with him.
Yep. You really, really, really want to see him practice this week.
Yeah, you do.
If you don't see him practice, I don't think you can start him because...
Unless you have an option in this game.
Unless you have a Scantling or an Allison.
Yeah, you're not using Jake Kumerow or... I mean, no. I'm not using Allison or Marquez. They were terrible. They're not that good. Marquez Valdez, Scantling, and Geronimo Allison are just not that good. Yeah. Packers need another receiver.
Yeah, they would kill for like a Mohamed Sanu right now.
Let's cap it off with a little Aaron Rodgers discussion. We've alluded to him. 22-34, 238, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He hasn't thrown for more than two touchdowns in any game this year. He's only thrown for 300 once, and that was that crazy game against Philadelphia on Thursday night. He did go for 400, which was nice, but it still wasn't that great a game. He only threw for two touchdowns. Like unless you're a league that
should have thrown for three through that.
Well, Jimmy Graham just couldn't catch the ball, dropping balls like Aguilar.
Yeah. Yes. He was doing his best Aguilar.
Dropping balls like Aguilar. I showed that to your wife this week. She had never seen it. She had never seen drop balls.
It was so funny. We
catching babies. Aguilar. She was like, "What is this?" Because she was talking about dropping Nelson Aguilar. I was like, yeah, you need to drop him. You do not need to own Nelson Aguilar.
Her wide receiver situation in that league is abysmal.
But again, also
her wide receiver situation in that league is dreadful.
Yeah, it's pretty dreadful. it's Dante Moncrief dreadful. But he's also been, back to Rodgers, he's also been under 250 yards passing in four or five games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do with Aaron Rodgers right now?
I mean, I think that... And honestly, we kind of came to this conclusion really quickly. Like, week two, we already knew it was going to be like this.
If I had Phillip Rivers, I'd be definitely thinking about benching him for Phillip Rivers on some weeks.
Yeah, you kind of like... With Rodgers, we knew this was going to happen, and he's not going to be a top five quarterback. That'd be the best finish. We laid it out on here. But you have to adjust his expectations. So now you're looking at more like, okay, what can I get from him? You're probably going to get QB 7 to 12 every week, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Matt Ryan's ahead of him.
Ryan is clearly ahead of him. Russell Wilson is clearly ahead of him. Mahomes, clearly ahead of him.
Lamar Jackson, ahead.
Lamar Jackson's looked suspect last 2 weeks.
The rushing peaks him ahead.
Yeah, the rushing does. Yeah.
I mean, Matt Stafford, probably not. That's where I'm
drawing. That one's surprising.
That's where I'm drawing a line where I don't trust Matt Stafford.
He's ahead of him right now.
And the other thing about Aaron Rodgers that always just hangs over your head, too, is the injury concern. You know, like, there's always that. He's 35 years old, and he has a track record of getting hurt.
Well, I feel like they don't protect
him. But would you be looking to move him right now?
If you can, you probably can't get what you want for him, though.
Like, what... what quarterback would you take for him? Like, that you'd feel better about? Like, would you take Philip Rivers in a trade straight up for him and feel better about Philip Rivers?
No, probably not. But I don't know if that's just me, though. I just would rather have Rodgers and Rivers. But, I mean, I tried to get Lamar Jackson for him.
That's a joke.
Yeah,
that's
that wasn't it. I mean, there was other pieces.
Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz hasn't looked great this year.
He's still throwing touchdowns, though, is the thing.
Yeah.
Touchdowns have been good for Wentz. Yards have been bad.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. I don't like Wentz.
It's a tough predicament to be in with Rodgers right now.
I wouldn't rather have Stafford.
There's been so much carnage at quarterback too. Like, I would have been considering guys like Roethlisberger and stuff like that. Yeah. Had they not got hurt, I would be like, well, those guys probably are, you know, good for 300 and a couple of touchdowns. But I mean, it's been carnage. Cam Newton's gone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mitchell Trubisky wasn't what he was supposed to be.
Well, there's a lot of rookies.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Goff. All right, what about Jared Goff? Who hasn't looked great himself.
Yeah, you would hope that Jared Goff's going to turn it around, though.
That's what I mean, more pass-friendly offense.
Yeah, I wish Aaron Rodgers was on the Rams. That would be awesome.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, would you do Goff for Rodgers right now? It's kind of close.
Maybe.
Depends on what, I probably would have to get something else, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel great about it.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up this week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.